Well, I want to get started. I want to welcome everybody that will have a chance to listen to this podcast here. We're at Cross Culture Church, and this is our noonday Bible study. We're in the book of Daniel at the present time, and what a great book it is. A lot of prophecy in here, a lot of God speaking to his people who are hurting and in bondage. As we read this book, we have to understand that it coincides with the scripture that says in this life we're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests. He says, but be of a good cheer because he has overcome the world. That does not mean that in this tribulation and trials that there'll not be pain. But when we give wholly over to God, God can help ease us through the pain. He never said we weren't going to leave out through here without getting some bumps and bruises and some scars. He said, but understand that he had some bumps and bruises and some scars. And so when he arose, then that gives us the opportunity to rise above as well. So in this book of Daniel, he was the prophet in that time to speak to the people about what was happening, what would happen, and the end result. There was a little light at the end of the tunnel, but if you read on, it wasn't much. Hello. It was tough times for him. Yep. It was tough times for him. So I just want you to think about your life and think about lives of people that you know. And sometimes it looks like it's just never going to stop raining. But guess what? It does. Yeah. You're going to get a reprieve. You're going to get a break. Sometimes you say, can I catch a break? Yeah, you're going to catch one. And you better appreciate it while you catch it. So I'm just saying that to say that he is a man that was under bondage, but he was not in bondage. So if we want to liken that to today, we're in bondage to this flesh. We caught up in a body and have to wrestle with it on a regular basis, but we can win and understand that there is an outcome. There is a race to run, and as long as we read the scriptures, as long as we stay prayed up and seek God's face, we can get through it. Okay? Now I'm going to entertain any questions before we get to 11. Is everybody clear or have an understanding of what's going on with Daniel all the way up to 11? Because if you look in here, he's had a couple of visions and he's had a dream. All right? Two visions he interpreted. One vision, his dream, he had a little trouble with it, and an angel was sent to him. So I just want to take a little time to answer any questions. I got two experts in here that if I can't give you the answer to it, they're going to jump right in. And if there's any comment, if you read something in here that touched you, I want to hear about it. Because this is a Bible study, and any time you read the Word of God, it should do something. It should make you think. It should make you research, make you go back and get some clarity on it. Because when you read it, you're reading it for purpose, not by accident. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so let's go at it. What you got? Now, we're going to get into 11, but I just want to make sure all the way up to 10, I'd like to hear from you all as a teacher. What have you pulled out of maybe 10 or 9 or any parts that have affected you to a positive or made you think? Still got some questions about why did God let him see it or any of these kings? Why would God be showing him about these different kings and who was going to take over what and who going to capture who? Because you're looking in here, and when he's giving these interpretations, it's a lot of violence going on. It's a lot of folks taking over and ruling, and then they getting taken over.
I'll share this to my minister Peter on the end there. You know, I had some reservation about the 2,300 days. I shared that with you. And as I had kind of sort of wrestled with that, I'm one of those individuals, I do numbers, I love doing numbers. That was my job. I was manager of account, I did numbers, you know, and sometimes I get overly involved in numbers. So I have looked at that several times, not one, two, three, but several times since we talked. And what wasn't discussed and what I eventually found out, that it indeed is actually 2,300 years, as you pointed out. But what I found, the 2,300 years, the cleansing of the temple, that goes over into the end times. It's not, say, in the Daniel scene here. You'll find that in Revelation. That's where it goes over to the cleansing of the temple, because you have to have a point of reference, a point of origin, when the 2,300 years start. And if I remember correctly, when I was reading it, it started with the goat, so to speak. So then it goes with 2,300 years at the end times, when heaven comes down, the new Jerusalem, the cleansing of the temple. So I'll share that with you as well, because when I'm looking at that, it's okay. I have no problem with Ezekiel and the days into the years. That's not even an issue with me. But the 2,300 years, I'm sitting here, you know, trying to figure out the significance and how and why. So that was the end result of the 2,300 years, as I found out.
Now, y'all two should have had this, because y'all know everybody. I see a lot of people looking around. Now, y'all,
well, you know.
Y'all should have, you should have waited till after the end of the thing, Bobby, because now everybody trying to, you know, everybody scratching. They scratching their heads.
As Portia told me, which I had already did in a sense, her word to me was not investigated, something you told me. Research. That's what her word. Research. Researching. So I did full additional research, so to speak, and that's what I found.
Anybody else?
I just like to make a comment.
Sure.
Since studying from the Book of Daniels, I would say for the most part of my life, I always looked at the Book of Job when I was having problems. And I would relate it to others. But now I can see going to the Book of Daniel as a reference to show the importance of prayer and how he came about and how God was there. You know, I mean, I always looked at Meshach and Abednego. I mean, I knew that story.
Right.
But I never really knew about the Book of Daniel and, you know, how he came about and everything. So that's one thing that I have learned with the Book of Daniel.
So now you got another arrow in your quiver to use when you're looking at what's going on in a person's life, instead of going back and say it was a Job situation. No, it could be a Daniel situation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good. We need to be equipped with as much as we can to help people. Because a lot of times people say, well, why does it have to happen to me? Why I got to go through this? Why I got to be in my family? Why I got to be my mama? Why I got to be my brother? Why I got to be this and that? You know, well, hey, God is no respecter of person. That happens to everybody. There's nobody that's immune to the situation. There are going to be some tribulations, trials, and tests out here. All right. You all right, Brother Poser? You okay?
You okay with it?
You good?
Yeah.
All right. When I see him leaning, I start, start getting too comfortable. So, anybody else? That was good. We got two good things going. Portia, you want to throw something in?
Yeah.
You good? Anybody else?
I'm okay.
You okay? Come on, Elder.
I'm good.
Nah, everybody can't be good.
I'll just say this right here. A lot of times when you are going through some situations, I think you can look at it from this point of view, that God knows what's going on, but he trusts you to be able to go through the situation. And if it gets too heavy, that's why he says he won't put more on you than you can bear, but he trusts you. So that should be an encouragement. He trusted Job to do what he did. Job completed the test.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trusting you because he believes you're going to complete the test.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't trust yourself to complete the test, but he does.
Is there actually a scripture that says that?
Says what?
He won't put more on you
than yes.
You can bear.
Yes. The verse is saying,
well, while he's looking up there to answer that, let me throw something else here at the table. And this is something that I may have said before, but I want to say it now because I'm just led to say it. Our maturity and our growth comes through pressure. It doesn't come through age. Because if you don't go through anything for 40 or 50 years, you still don't know nothing. But we get our wisdom, we get our faith, we get our trust through situations and circumstance, and how when we trust God through one thing and we go through another thing, and as we go through different things, it builds up our faith. Amen. Faith is not built up just by you reading. It says faith comes by hearing, but it's what happens after you hear it. Because God is preparing you in every area. If whatever you're looking at, God's preparing you for something.
Right.
So I want everybody to understand that if you're studying a specific thing in the scriptures, God leading you to read something, he's preparing you for something. God doesn't waste time. He does not waste time. So if you're studying something, you're going to need that. If I pray about something, I already know something's getting ready to happen I'm going to need. And if it's next thing, it's either a phone call, I run into somebody, and that I've been praying about or that's been on my mind, it's all, it comes right on there, in there. Not only does he give you that you need, He gives it to you in advance. Mm-hmm. So when it comes, you won't be overtaken. Did you get it for him, or you want me to get it?
I got it. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 13.
1 Corinthians 10, 13.
You want me to read it?
Go ahead. We got time.
This is what it says. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man.
Common to man.
But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And?
I mean, I've heard it all my life, but mm-hmm. I never remember actually reading.
You wrote it down? Did you write it down?
Oh, she got it now.
Okay. I'll make sure you wrote it down.
Okay. One more, please look this one up. God won't put more on you than you can bear. Is that in the scripture? I mean, I know what
that was right there.
That was in that one.
You just reworded it.
It's just reworded it.
Now, if you look at that same one through...
King.
Right. If you look at another translations, it's gonna line it up.
Well, I saw in 10 way, the Lord put this dream on Daniel, and it was more than he could bear, but he sent him help.
Right.
You know, because you know he just passed out. But the angel gave mm-hmm. him strength.
Right, touched him.
Touched his lips. He couldn't mm-hmm. even talk. It was so so awesome, you know, the dream. But that showed us again how God came to Daniel and said, let me help you out with this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he'll do that for us.
Ooh. And I want us to think about that. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to confess something. A lot of this I read knocked me out. I mean, I don't necessarily pass out, but I'm like, oh my God. You know, and then I think, it's just me now. I know y'all don't do it because y'all super Christians. I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? Why you can't give this to somebody else? There's some elders. Will you let them have that? You know, can you get this to Bobby? Bobby's a learned scholar here. He gets on in there and digs out. Why Bobby can't get it? But then I have to realize that I've been prepared for this, whether I want to think I've been prepared for it or not. But we really have been. Because God already know. That same thing said, he already know what we can bear.
Yeah.
We the ones don't know what we can bear. We don't know. Now, y'all have been with me for a while. What is one of my favorite examples of not knowing what you can do? The rubber band.
Oh, yes.
A rubber band is no good until you stretch it and put it around something, right? But we don't know our rubber band faith unless it's stretched.
That's right.
When that situation comes, all that we got to take that and stretch that all the way around that situation. And that we have thought about, prayed about, heard, sung about, all that has impacted us is what give that strength to that rubber band and hold it. But if we don't have a situation like that, we'll never be stretched. If we don't have a situation or something that come upon us where God can show up and show out, then, you know, if we don't have a test, how are we going to have a testimony? Right?
That's right.
You can't brag about something you hadn't experienced. Now, you can lie about it. Huh? You can say, I read in the book how God did so-and-so. But isn't it better when God done worked it out through you? Huh? Now you got a little something with it when you talking about, I know he'll see me through.
Right.
Oh, I know he'll see you through because he saw me through.
Amen.
Why was Paul so effective?
Because what he had gone through and how the Lord had delivered him every time.
When he knocked him off the horse and he saw the light. The change took place. I'm glad I didn't get knocked off no horse. Listen, or been riding in the car and the light got bright. The next thing I know, you know, so we can.
Don't get misconstrued now. But the test is going to be painful. On occasions, you're gonna feel like this is the end, this is it. But that's when your faith has to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he said also that he's not gonna put more on you than you can bear. And this is an extreme example. So if you die, you just go home right now.
Mm-hmm.
What we do.
Can I read the message, what the elder said and Sister Rose just said?
Go ahead.
Okay. And the message, Bible. He says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. In other words, someone have already faced this stuff. Okay. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. What you just said. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He's always there to help you come through it.
Amen.
Always. And I'm not much of a fan of the message, but
I agree.
Now I want to throw something else, and it says, when we are weak, that's when God can be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I want to throw a curve in there on that one. if you so strong, then God can't get the glory out of it. Because you're going to try to get the glory out of it. Because you're going to start flexing your muscle and say, look what I came through. You know, no, look what God brought you through. See? See, it's easy to get the big head. See? But that humility is what we're really after. Said God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. You knowing who you are not. And I think that's where a lot of folk are. They think they one place and they really not at that place. Then they mind they are. But they not there. And it's a rock coming. You remember when he said a rock came and hit that giant. Boom. Throw his feet up, throw everything up, didn't it? Hit him in the head everywhere, boy. So in the midst of this today, what we've been talking about is in the midst of your tribulations, trials, and tests, God's gonna work something out. Now my other classic example is the person that decides that they want to be a bodybuilder. We all got muscles, right? Mm-hmm. But if we want to get some definition to those muscles, are we going to have to be good to them or rough to them?
We're going to have to be rough to them.
We're going to have to be a little rough to them, right? In order to get that definition, that means a sacrifice. Y'all laughing? Now, y'all know if you want to get your body... exercising. So if you want to get your body... to a certain state, then that means some sacrifice gonna be made. That means some things that you like to eat, they not gonna be good for definition. Hello, somebody. So there's some things that you do, they not gonna be good for definition. You just can't sleep around, lay around, and sit around. You're gonna have to start moving around and getting around, huh? And pushing around and stretching around, right? So it's the same way with the Word of God. I want to throw another curve in here. Since we're talking about evangelism, and that's been one of the favorite buzzwords for this church, especially for this year, the fact that we should be able to go out and be comfortable enough to talk to everybody or give a testimony or have an answer for every man. Have this group calculated or put out a goal of how many people you're going to talk to this year? I'm just asking a question. And I'm asking it because if you don't have a goal, you won't hit a target at all.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Uh-huh. So let me just challenge you. If you talk to 5 people a month about Jesus, that give you 60 people a year. How many people would you calculate out of 60 may get saved? All I hear is,
Hey.
But if you get 1 or 2, you do a good job.
I'm just saying, they said for everyone, there's a party going on in heaven.
Yeah, 1 or 2, you do a good job.
But again, my statement is, if you don't set that or put out there or have in your mind that you are purposely going to talk to, or if not purposely, say, Lord, I would like for you to use this vessel of clay today, or this month, to speak to at least 5 people. Lord, would you bring 5 people into my sphere of influence and then give me the word to give them?
That's right.
That can either plant, water, or bring an increase. But if you don't say that, do you really think that that's automatically going to happen? Shouldn't we have goals? Shouldn't we put some demands on ourselves to move out of our comfort zone?
Yep.
I've never set a goal, but I've never let an opportunity pass and not say anything, and especially when I was working, I would find myself giving a testimony to somebody, and I say, now why am I telling this person this? And then later on, they'll come back and send me an email to say thank you for doing that. So, but I've never considered setting a goal, but now if I had that opportunity, I take it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's good. I'm trying to motivate them to not set no goals, to start to set a goal so that we can have some productivity. See, that's how you get jewels in your crown. That's how when you stand there at the judgment, you don't hear a lot of crackling and some smoke coming up behind you. You do know about that crackling and smoke, right? Anybody not familiar with what happened at the judgment seat? That your works are going to be tried by fire. And if they've been just some playing around and clowning around and the fire hit it, you're going to get some crackling back there and some smoke. But if it be tried by fire, come on, Elder, and it come out as pure gold, and you know, when the weighing start coming in, it's going to start looking good instead of some ash sitting there. Y'all supposed to be laughing. That was funny right then. I got jokes.
That was serious. That wasn't funny.
I have to pepper it up. You know, I want to say it another way, but God said, no, I'll put it like this. You know, I had to put a little sugar on it.
Well, one thing I liked about when we were Abundant Life, I joined in, it was either 1995 or 1996. And during that time, they started having a lot of classes on missionary. And any class that they've had here at the church, I've attended it. And one reason why I didn't go on any missionary trips was because in one of the classes, they said, wherever you go, and whatever they serve you, you have to eat it.
They didn't say that like that. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They said,
don't you offend them.
Yeah, but now you have to use wisdom. Now, if it's wiggling and your stomach's starting to act up, now you have to pray up. You have to pray about it.
Yeah.
Elder says it's time for a fast if it's wiggling.
And a lot of times, Estelle, when you go on missionary, the people are considerate of who they are dealing with.
Right.
So most of the time, they ask you, are you comfortable with this?
Right. And if it's wiggling, they say, now we can stop it from wiggling. We can stop it from wiggling.
I know, I used to tell people, as long as it doesn't move on my plate.
Move it on your plate.
I don't want it to be moving on my plate.
And I don't want it looking at me either.
Oh. Head off.
The first missionary trip I went on in Haiti, I was sick as a dog. I had to take a medical leave of absence for 3 months.
Really?
Wow. After coming back.
Oh, wow.
But I felt like, because I was on the prayer team, and I'm praying with people, you know, for healing and everything, and it came to me when I was on the floor in agony and pain afterwards, I said, you know, Satan, you're a lie. Because I'm telling people to pray, and every time pain hits you, to thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you're trying to see if I'm going to practice.
That's that Job thing, ain't it?
What I preach.
Buddy.
Yes. Yeah, because I mean the pain that I was in. And I didn't even eat the food. I didn't eat the food. But then later on, they told me, they said, but even if you ate a banana or an orange, if you didn't wash it right,
the germ is there.
Yeah, the bacteria could still be on it. Because I didn't even eat the food. And it was only me and Paul from here at the church. We were the only ones, and we were the only ones that actually embraced the people that we had physical contact with the people, that we actually put our arms around them.
And we were the only two that got sick.
Yeah. But you made it, and you're here in this Bible study today.
I said, save you a life.
That's right.
Do you know something, that when you are praying for folks, do you know that you somehow will be praying for you?
Mm-hmm.
You get through.
He will be praying for you.
In the spirit.
They keep your body built up. Because mm-hmm. you remember, that's why Jesus had some had 12 disciples to back him up.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to touch 11 a little bit. Y'all have done exactly what the Lord wanted y'all to do, which is to be empowered through any circumstance and situation. I said this last time, and I'm going to say it again. Hopefully it's the last time I'm going to say it. But God is preparing you all as a people to be used mightily in a very short period of time. So some of y'all may be laying hands by the end of the day. Some may be involved in some very intense ministry by the end of the week. But you've been prepared. God has given you everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. So you are ready. I know sometimes you think, no. Sometimes you think, why me? Why not you? Why not you? Think about how many messages you heard. I'm not looking at baby Christians in here. Look at how many messages you've heard. Look at how many scriptures you've read. Look at how many people you prayed over and for. Look how many people been praying and still praying for you. You are well able to go up and take it. You are. So like they used to say in the old days, praying your strength in the Lord, you got some strength in the Lord. You got it. But a lot of times you won't know it until a situation presents itself, and then you find out what you can do.
Yeah.
Right? Now they say if you're going to pray for healing, start praying for your little headaches and all the other little things that's going on with your knee hurt. And you know, you pray for you first. If you're not faithful in a little, how you going to be faithful in much? Mm-hmm. Just trying to motivate you a little bit to come to an understanding. All right? Chapter 11. As, I don't know, it's already 1 o'clock. The first three verses here are first four verses. Has been talked about already, and I'm going to read them right quick, and then I'm going to let Bobby jump in here. And then after Bobby jump in, then I know Elder going to jump in. Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet. How many kings?
Three
kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than all they, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Four, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be what?
Broken.
And he shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, which means and not that his folk gonna get it, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, and even for others beside those. Alright, Bobby.
When you look at verse 1, also the I there is indicative of the angel Gabriel. The angel. The angel that is talking to Daniel, because Daniel didn't have any strength. And he said, even I, He stood up to confirm and to strengthen him. Strengthen him, he's talking about, he's strengthening Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And going down to number two, they say, now I will show these the truth. But we all know Daniel, as somebody pointed out earlier, that Daniel was so weak that he, I think Rose said that.
Yeah.
That he had lost
his strength. In his flesh.
Right.
It was, he saw so much that he, let me just put this in here. Mm-hmm. He had so much revelation, the flaws within his flesh was exposed. Mm-hmm. And he got weak. He said, this is too much. I can't even take it. Go ahead.
And also, that's another indication as to where, when we're weak, God is strong. Mm-hmm. God strengthens us also. And I had a little sidebar note here on the book of Daniel chapter 6, verse 16 and 6:22, where you can see where he's really talking. I think he was going to the lion's den at the time, where God had sent the angel to shut the lion's mouth. So God is with us when we're weak. When we can't do anything, God is there to strengthen us along. The three kings of Persia, then the fourth one shall be richer. That's very, very, very interesting. When you look at those three kings and also the fourth that shall be richer, that's another indication there of some nut going to come along sooner or later. I think it was in verse number 21. The nut is going to come. 21. And Antiochus Epiphanes, he's going to come on the scene. Then the mighty king in verse number 3
is?
That's the Alexander.
Alexander again, the Great.
He's talking about there who defeated Persia.
Yeah.
And he's a very interesting character, as we kind of talked about already a little bit. And then number 4, Alexander kingdoms was divided by the four winds. That's the four generals he's talking about there when the kingdom was... Alexander had went to the wayside, and his kingdom was split up to his four generals, and they're going to have some issues as well, because if we remember, forgive me for saying what chapter, but the little horn, I'm thinking it was chapter 6.
Six.
Okay. The little horn is going to come out of the four kingdoms. Now, who is the little horn? That's Antiochus Epiphanes, the nut, and the nut. Let me call him by his name. I'm serious when I say this stuff. Antiochus Epiphanes, he is likened unto the Antichrist. This guy is responsible for killing more people than Hitler or the Russians. What's that guy name over in Esther? Haman. He's responsible for killing more Jews than all these people combined.
Now let me just add something in there about him. He was real slick. He had a silver tongue, and he went in there. Now we've talked about this. Now,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Now we talked about this. So that's why I want you to think about when you're reading this first part of 11. This is some clarification that was going on back in 6 and 9.
Right.
So now what when you're reading Daniel, you need to have your notes together, because as you go through some of this, it's like he'll start telling it. And then something else will happen. And then he gets back to explain a little bit more about what happened. Now, his dream that he got still had ramifications to the visions that he had interpreted before.
Yes.
It's all tying in. So I just want you to, in your study, you got to make notes. The notes about each one of those visions that he have. When it comes down to him having a dream about it, he's gotten, the angel comes in, mm-hmm. and gives him even more clarification. Although when you're reading 6 and 9, he interprets, right? He interprets the visions. Now, when he done had the dream and the angel talking to him, he really gets into it. And now he's bringing even more clarity. And he's really showing now that when I talked about those kingdoms, this is who those kingdoms are, and this is what's going on, because that's where we are, like right now in 11. Right now, I want to throw this in as we close. Alexander did a whole lot, but he didn't get the benefit from it. None. He had a good time, but his son. All of them that he put in thought he was putting in place, all of them got overturned. So now, sometimes when people think they setting up stuff and they getting stuff all together and they scheming and they plotting, it ain't gonna work out in the end. So, what am I saying? Fret not yourself about what evildoers are doing. Don't worry about it, because they gonna be cut off.
That's right.
So don't think just because folk at the top wheeling and dealing right now and it look like they getting away with murder and they above the law, there's gonna be a rock.
Yeah.
Boom!
We can see that going on right now.
Well, we ain't seen it yet, but it's getting ready.
You will see it.
You gonna see it.
You will see it.
You will see it.
You will see it.
Question.
So is this saying, because these prophecies are so way, you know, the years is way before Daniel's time, they're coming after Daniel's time, some of these prophecies.
Well, what, he's not gonna see some of this.
Well, like some of these prophecies are going way into the future.
They ain't going that far. Okay. See, that's why you gotta take notes. Mm-hmm. See,
some of them was fulfilled while Daniel was alive.
Right.
That I understand, but I thought that some of the prophecies was going into the future.
It is. After he's gone. After Daniel is deceased.
It is. But is not the word that we're looking at now, when was that word written? No, I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. When God gives you something, it doesn't matter when it was given.
It will happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
See, we're reading.
Right, so my question is, okay, maybe we've answered this before. Because some of this is in the future,
mm-hmm,
that's saying, okay, God knows in advance and he's going to allow these things to happen for a reason.
For our admonition. The scriptures are given for our admonition. They're given for us to have an understanding of God's love, grace, compassion, and some reasoning.
Let me play with a word. The word imminent.
Mm.
When God says certain thing that is imminent,